Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your redeeming work. I thank you that what I was is not who I am today. And that's because of the rich love and mercy that you have poured out on to me. So I went from one way and I went to a brand new way because you were the one who made a way. So God, I thank you. I'm no longer a slave to the fear. I'm no longer a slave to the insecurity. I'm no longer a slave to the past because of the redeeming work that you have done in my life. Because of Jesus, I'm a new man. Because of Jesus, I got a new purpose. Because of Jesus, I got a new way of seeing and a new way of living. And I thank you so much for providing that way for me. Father, I pray for your service today. I pray that your people are impacted and redemption would happen today. Redemption is something that you do. It's who you are. So, Father, I pray that your children today would be set free, because there are some people in today that are still trapped. There are some people today that are still in a place that they shouldn't be. So, Father, I pray that your grace and your mercy would meet them where they're at so you can get them to where they need to be. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' perfect name is who I pray. Amen, 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 and amen. I said it last service, but Paul, back like 9 years ago, my wife and I came, and that was a song that I said yes to Jesus to. I remember the drapes going up. I was like, this church is cool. Amen. The pastor had skinny jeans like me. Like, it was great. And it's because of that song is the reason why I am here today. So again, brother, I love you, and I thank you. Well, good morning, Christ Church. Welcome, everybody, for being here. Those who are watching online, what's going on? Don't forget to share this experience. We encourage you to do that. We believe that one click can be someone else's deliverance. Hey, guys, we're continuing and ending a series that we started last week, and the series is titled Triggered. I don't know about you, but 2020 has triggered me in the worst kind of way. 2020 has triggered me in a certain type of way because of the pain and because of the losses, because of the disappointments, because of the challenges that I face. And it's created a bit of uncertainty. And so last week, we were talking about what we need to do or how we are to respond when we face uncertainty. Because friends, moving forward, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if 2021 is going to look better and look different. But one thing that we talked about last week is that things may not get better, but guess what? We're going to get better. And sometimes God brings us in certain moments so he can change something within us. So last week, we picked up one of my favorite passages, one of my favorite books. It's found in the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. The reason why we're revisiting this, because it's going to help set us up for what we're going to read today. Last week, we talked about that we have a better response to our uncertainty when we understand why we face it. We respond better. We walk better. We think different. We treat people better when we understand why we go through what we go through. And James, who happens to be the half-brother of Jesus, is writing to a group of people who are just like you and I in the midst of uncertainty. I explained it last week, but I want to explain it again. Remember, James, the author, the writer, this is probably the very first letter that they received after Jesus had ascended. So what's interesting, they got a letter that talked about how to walk and how to act and how to endure in their trials. And James is writing to a group of people that face heavy persecution. Some of you may or may not know, the first century Christians were living in Jerusalem, and they had faith in Jesus, and they loved Jesus, and they walked with Jesus. But what happens is because of their faith, they were persecuted. So it caused them to spread. James is writing, and you see it in verse 1. He's writing to what they call the diaspora, people that face so much persecution for their faith. And he wants them to understand how they are to respond to the losses and the disappointments and the chaos and the challenges that they're facing at that moment. It's amazing. A book that was written 2,000 years ago is still relevant today, because the God that was with them 2,000 years ago is the God that's with us today. God doesn't change. God that was faithful to them then, guess what? God is going to be faithful to us now. So as we understand God's faithfulness, that's how we are to respond. So let's read it and let's dive right into it. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. This is going to help set us up for our reading for today. It says this, consider it great joy, or count it all joy. It says, consider it great joy. He says, respond with joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. What's interesting is James tells us that we are to respond with joy when life sucks. Now, I don't know about you, but the last thing that I want to do is be happy when life isn't going the way that I would like it to. So when I read this passage, I'm like, well, why is James saying this? And it's interesting. Notice that he says various trials. How many of us know that there are various trials that we're going to go through? They're not just the trials that we experience at home, the trials that we're going to experience at our jobs, the trials that we experience with the family, the trials that we experience at church. And he says, either way, no matter what is thrown at you, I want you to know, don't let joy be removed from you. No matter what is coming at you, no matter what is going on in your life, don't let joy be removed. But he helps us to understand why we are to respond this way. Verse 3, it says this, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Because you should know, you should understand that what God throws at you, it's meant to build something within you. God doesn't allow things to happen to us so we can take away from us, but sometimes the testing is meant to produce something within us. Sometimes the testings and sometimes the trials and sometimes the hard and disappointing moments in our lives is not meant to push you away from God, but it's meant to push you towards Him so you can grow in your faith, grow in your heart, and God can do some wonderful work within you. But notice what he says next, and let the endurance have its full effect. Last week, we spoke on not running away from pain, but rather welcoming it. Not running away from the issues, but saying, listen, I'm going to face this. I'm going to stand with it. I'm not going to ask God to take away my problems. I'm going to ask God to be with me when I'm in my problems. He says, let the endurance have its full effect. And why do we do it? So that you may be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. This is what James wants to tell us. James says, trials are unavoidable. We want to avoid as many hard moments in our lives as much as we can. Can I get an amen? We don't want those things to happen. But James tells us that trials are unavoidable, but in Christ, trials become profitable. Trials become profitable, which means this, whatever you lost actually will end up in a gain. And some of the greatest gains is what happens in your heart. Whatever you lose, whatever disappointments, however 2020 played out for you, James is telling us your losses in Christ turns into greater gains because God is too faithful to allow what you go through to go wasted. Because God produces something inside of you. See, here's the thing, friends. We may not know what happens tomorrow, but we know the one who holds tomorrow. See, God has been in 2021 already. Do you know that? He has visited there already. He has been there. He knows what happens on January to March to April. God knows. God has been in 2021. So what happens is James wants us to realize we shouldn't be triggered by what we see, but we should be triggered by what we know about God. Not triggered by how we feel. Not triggered by how somebody treats us, but be triggered by what we know that we have a God that is before us and that who is for us. See, here's the thing. God will use whatever you face today to shape you into who you need to be tomorrow. You need to realize that, church. See, here's the thing. We are understanding the meaning of our problems, of our trials, of our disappointments. So James is trying to connect us to the meaning. He's trying to connect us to what we need to do. But now James is going to allow us to realize the next step is you need to ask God for this thing called wisdom. Let's read in verse 5. Again, it helps us set up for what we just read. James chapter 1, verse 5, it says this. Now, if any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly. I find it interesting that James, who was talking about pain, James, who was talking about disappointment, James, who was talking about losses and trials, the thing he says we need to go to God about is something I never pray about. Because you want to know what I ask God to do when I'm in the midst of pain? Take it away. Let it go. I don't want it anymore. Help me to get through this. And it's interesting, James doesn't say, if anyone lacks peace, let him ask God. Notice that he doesn't say, if any man needs grace, let him ask God. Now, we know that scriptures very much directly tells us that we can go to God for those things because of Jesus. You have direct access to your Father so you can receive some things. We already realize that. But what's interesting is he says, the thing you need to do next is to ask for God's wisdom. I don't know about you, but I never have prayed for that before. I never said, God, give me more wisdom. But there's something profound, and there's something interesting, and there's something that's worth saying, that reason why James is telling us and reminding us what we need to go to God about. He's giving us another way of prayer. Again, sometimes we think praying to God is informing God. But rather, James is helping us to realize prayer isn't informing God, but rather prayer is involving God. It's not telling God your problems. It's not telling God what you're going through. Because guess what? He already knows. But what James says, you need to involve God. You need to bring him in. You need to help him, have him draw closer to you in the moments, in the times that you are facing life like the way that you are facing. And I find it interesting. James tells us our need for wisdom. I don't know about you, but moving forward, I don't need life to be easy, but I need a little bit more wisdom. I don't want life to be easy. Jesus tells us, don't expect life to be easy. Many trials and many tribulations will surely come your way. But James tells us, you don't need life to be easy. You need wisdom so you can endure and mature in the trials that you face. Because here's the thing. How many of us know that a lot of us get impatient? Oh, I like that. How many of us know we get so frustrated, we want what we're in to be over with? We want what we're in to be over with. We want it just to be done. We want life to be back to what it was. We want to repeat 2019. We want 2019 back. I'll take 2019 all day long. But what he's saying is so profound. He says, we don't need God to make life easy for us. We need to have some wisdom. Because wisdom helps you and I to endure and mature so that we can help make sense of what we're going through. Because sometimes life just doesn't make sense. Sometimes life just doesn't make sense. Sometimes what you face, you say to yourself, why me? What did I do to deserve this? I hear you, Doc. I hear you, Javon. God is all love and God is all good. But guess what? I don't feel that love. Guess what? I don't feel so great. So what's going on? And he tells us wisdom is the way of how we are to endure and to walk in the midst of our trials. Impatience will come. Frustrations will develop. But wisdom is the ingredient so that we can continue to trust God to help us to make sense of what we're going through. If I can help describe wisdom from a biblical standpoint, wisdom is the ability to judge correctly, to follow the best course of action based off knowledge and understanding. So the way that the Bible would describe wisdom, it's knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. What I know about God, what I understand about God, and now I try to live that out. See, that's what we call wisdom. What I know about God, his ways, how he works, why he does certain things. When I know about God and I understand why things happen the way that they do. See, when those things increases, wisdom begins to pour outside of me. And therefore, wisdom is what James is allowing us to see ourselves living through and by. In a more modern way to describe wisdom, let me help you break it down like this. Wisdom is choosing God's best. Because friends, I need you to understand this. God knows what's best for your life. God knows the turns and the decisions and the things that we need to do so we can endure the trials that we face. Wisdom is saying, God, I'm trusting you to show me how I am to live and how I am to walk when I'm going through what I'm going through. And wisdom needs to be applied in every area of our lives. Spouses, husbands and wives, marriages, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. We need to treat people not based off on how we feel. We need to treat people based off the wisdom that God gives. Those who are raising children today, I have one little one today. I need wisdom. Teething sucks. Listen, I question God during teething time. God, if you're supposed to be good, tell me and show me how. Parents, you need to raise your kids with wisdom. You need to show your kids what wisdom looks like. We need to have wisdom when it comes to treating people better and different. Because I don't know about you, but 2020, we have done the opposite of wisdom when it comes to treating one another better. We need a little bit more wisdom during 2020 with all the election and all the race and all the things that have been going on. We have treated each other the opposite of wisdom. We haven't been wise when it comes to our treatment towards one another. When people have different values than us, when people see life different than us, we allow our feelings. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom pushes me away from how I feel. I always tell people feelings are great indicators, but they're terrible for decision-making, which is why we need wisdom. Because I don't know about you, but I need to make some better decisions today. I need to make some better decisions today. I need to make some better decisions when it comes to treating people a certain way. But also, I need to make some better decisions with treating me a better way. Because sometimes the way I treat myself is more damaging than how I treat other people. James says you need wisdom. You need this wisdom because wisdom helps connect us to have a greater perspective. See, a lot of us are living our lives and life is nothing but a matter of perspective. And when you lose perspective, you lose purpose. And when you lose perspective, you lose hope. When you lose perspective, it's hard to have joy like James talks to us and tells us that we ought to respond out of. But what happens is wisdom helps connect me to a greater purpose, to a greater perspective, and that's God's. I don't need to look at and view life from my perspective. I need to view life from God's perspective. How God sees everything working out. How God says everything is going to turn. How God says, not what the TV says, not what my emotions are telling me, but what God has already spoken. This is why we need wisdom, because we need a greater perspective. Because how many of us know when life is hard, that's how we lose our way? A lot of us have lost our way because life was hard, because of the disappointments that we've faced. And what happens is this wisdom that God wants to give you and I, it keeps us on the straight and narrow. It keeps us from making decisions, from making choices that are counter to what God's best for us. It keeps us from treating our wives a certain way. It keeps us from treating our family. It keeps us from treating others a certain way. It keeps us from treating ourselves a certain way. This is why we need wisdom. See, here's the thing I've noticed too. Wisdom is important in trials so that we don't fall victim to our temptations. I said that last week, and I need to repeat it this week. Usually, when issues arise, temptation follows. The temptation to quit. The temptation to walk away. The temptation to give up. The temptation to do things outside of God's best for you. And what happens is we need the wisdom to tell us, hey, look, this is not best for you. We need this wisdom because we got to make some better decisions, church, flat out. We need to make some better decisions moving on in 2021. It's interesting. It reminds me of a time when I was a very young man. I was horrible with money. I'm not that great nowadays, but back then I was terrible. And at one point, my bank account was in the negative. Now, when I say the negative, it was three digits, and it was pretty high. And it got to the point where I allowed my account to remain in the negative, and a whole week went by. And some of us know that if you allow your account to remain negative, what picks up? Overdraft fees. Overdraft fees. And I'm trying to figure out, how am I going to get myself out of the predicament that I'm in? I was struggling and going back and forth. I was calling people, asking them for loans and asking them for handouts and asking them for all these things. Until one day, I was watching TV, and I saw a commercial for payday loans. See your response? Y'all know where I'm going with this. It said, call today and get approved for $1,000 to $5,000. It doesn't matter your credit score. When they said that, they had me. When they said, doesn't matter, that they had me at the credit score. So when did I call them? And guess what? They helped me. That money was in my account that very same day. They covered all the things that I was negative, but It also gave me more. But little did I realize, I didn't read in the fine print, it was like a 72% interest rate. Some of you would say that was an unwise decision. Am I right? It was unwise. But notice that my decision, God wasn't involved in it. Notice that in my decision, God wasn't at the center. Notice I was trying to trust in me, going off my knowledge, my understanding, my ways. But how many of us know that when we trust in ourselves, that's how we typically get in trouble the most? When we trust in what we think and what we believe, instead of going to the one that James tells us that gives generously and grudgingly without reproach, meaning God doesn't rebuke you. God doesn't push you away. Wisdom aligns us to a better place that we actually need to be. Our decisions have got to get better and got to increase in the times that we are facing today. And we have to recognize that as we make these decisions, we need to make these decisions that reflect our allegiance to Jesus, to Christ. Because we're making decisions that reflect how we feel or what someone says or what's going on. But rather, we belong to a better kingdom, to a greater kingdom, not the kingdom of this world, but we need to have our decisions reflect the kingdom from above. So when we go forward and when we act a certain type of way, when we treat people a certain way, we're doing everything that God says we need to do in it. We need wisdom. We need wisdom because we have to have a better perspective. We need wisdom because we need to make some better decisions. That's the reason why James says we need this wisdom, so that we can mature, so we don't lose our way, so we don't break down. But to understand the need for wisdom, we got to understand the benefits of wisdom. And what's interesting, the scriptures are very helpful when it comes to this. God wants to give you wisdom. Notice what James said. He wants to give it to you. God doesn't want to withhold it. God wants to share it with you. And there's a whole part of scripture that is dedicated towards wisdom. We call it the wisdom literature. One of my favorite books, Proverbs. How many of us have read Proverbs and gone through Proverbs? It is so helpful. It is the way we have to realize how life needs to be lived according to what God says. The weight of how we need to live our life according to what God says is best. And there's one thing about the benefit of wisdom, that it does this one thing. Wisdom begins to guard you. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 4:23. It says it like this. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Which means we need to protect what comes in. We need to protect what goes into our hearts. We need to protect, make sure bitterness and hate doesn't grow within. Because whatever comes in, eventually it comes out. Jesus says it's not what goes into you that defiles you. It actually what comes out of you that defiles you. And wisdom tells me and reminds me, I need to guard the way that I'm living. I need to guard and make sure I'm not allowing things in my heart that shouldn't be there. So what do we need to do? We need to involve God. God, expose me. Show me what shouldn't be there. Jealousy, envy, whatever it may be, help me to see the things that I can't see, because you're the God who knows me best. That's why we need wisdom, so God can open the doors of the things that are getting into our hearts. Me for wisdom, because it guards you. Wisdom guards the way we talk to one another. Wisdom makes our heart healthy. Wisdom helps us to establish healthy habits. Wisdom helps me to manage my priorities. Wisdom helps me to be self-controlled, because sometimes when life feels out of control, I get out of control. But wisdom helps me to feel self-controlled. Wisdom gets me to peace. Wisdom connects me to hope. Wisdom helps me to not be as selfish as I have been in the past. Wisdom guards me, guards the way that I live. But also, wisdom guards the way that I think. My thoughts got to get better. Sometimes I have some impure and improper thoughts. I'm not the only one in here. If you had an open door to my thoughts, you wouldn't come back to this church. I'm going to go down to the church down the street. That man is weird. But what happens is wisdom tells me what needs to be in, But wisdom tells me what needs to come out. Sometimes I got some thoughts like shame. So I've done some terrible things. Some things that I'm not super proud of. Some things I wouldn't tell you. I got some things like shame. I got some things like insecurity that robs me of my joy, that distracts me of what I need to be, that distracts me of how I need to live. And sometimes wisdom needs to come in. God's word needs to come in, and it needs to rescue me from the bad thoughts, from the wrong thoughts. God needs to show me, listen, this is not a good thought right now. You need to get this out of you. This is not a good thought right now. You need to remove this. This is why we need wisdom, because wisdom shows me what needs to be in, but also what needs to come out. So I invite you, as we move on to 2021, that you would ask God to come in so he can get some things out. That's the reason why we need wisdom in our trials. When the wrong things come in, guess what? The wrong things will eventually pour out. Also, wisdom is meant to guide us. It's meant to guide us. And one thing that it guides us, it directs us to God's purpose. Proverbs 19:21, one of my favorite ones. I remember I was in a deep, trying time. I was in so much burden and so much remorse, but I came across this verse, and I can't tell you how much it uplifted my spirit and uplifted my soul. It says this: many plans are in a man's heart. How many of us had a lot of plans in 2020? And how many of us had those plans not happen? Many plans are in a man's heart. We plan our lives. We plan what we think life needs to be. We plan our next destination. But sometimes our plans don't happen. But just because we've had our plans disappointed doesn't stop God's purpose in our lives. Because Proverbs tells us, but the Lord's decree, the Lord's purpose will prevail. Wisdom helps me not to get so consumed by what I lost, but be connected to the purpose God has for me in my life. Wisdom helps me to remind me not to be so convinced that, man, what happened is how it is. But wisdom allows me to get to a point where God has a purpose for what I'm in. And if you are living and breathing today, and if you are a follower of Jesus, you have to realize your disappointments doesn't define God's purpose. And it doesn't take away God's purpose, because God has a purpose for all of this. He's got a meaning for everything that you encounter and everything that we go through. So we connect to the purpose, not to the disappointments. When we do that, we endure. When we do that, we mature. When we do that, life itself becomes possible. Wisdom is meant to guard you, guard what needs to come out, prevent what needs to come in, but also it guides you. God's purpose. And I love how James, as we close, I love how James says, let's continue to involve God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly. Which means this: God will not rebuke you. Because how many of us know some of our chaos is because of our problems, because of our decisions, because of the decisions that we've made, because of people that we've hurt. Sometimes the chaos is because of us. Sometimes it's the reason why we are where we are today is because of the decision that we made yesterday. But how many of us know, as James tells us, God doesn't rebuke you, even if you're the cause of the problem? That's the amazing thing about God. God is not the God of a closed hand. He's a God of an open hand. God doesn't close his hand to you. He opens up. The God who wants to share things with you. God wants to give things to you. And the one thing God wants to do, he wants to give us his wisdom. And I love that James tells us that he gives it freely. Because sometimes I don't deserve what God gives. I don't deserve what God wants to share. But God doesn't give based off my worthiness. God gives based off his goodness. Because sometimes you and I don't deserve the things that God wants to share. But God loves and God cares and God wants to share these things so badly, so urgently, so much that he says, I want you to look past what you did so I can give you what you need to do. The God who gives freely. We didn't work for those things. Christ did for us. Christ gave that for us. So in order for us to get wisdom, we need to do three things. Number one, in this time that we move forward, we need to check who we're hanging out with. We need to check our crowds. Because sometimes it's who's around you is what helps you to move forward. We need to go to our source, God, and we need to say, who do I need to eliminate? Who do I need to let go of today? Some of us keep going back to relationships that aren't good and beneficial for us. And wisdom tells me, listen, not to go that route. So in order to receive wisdom that God wants to give, sometimes it takes for us to check our crowd. Check who's around us. Get involved in a life group here at our church. We have life groups. You can join them personally or digitally. It doesn't matter. Get involved and get yourself around people who can lead you to God's perspective, lead you to God's purpose, lead you to God's hope. Not lead you to what's going on in this world, but lead you to what God wants to do through us and remind you that he is for us. Get some godly counsel. Number two, spend time with God. Let me ask you a question. Is this the only time you saw a Bible verse this week? I can tell you that's not good. We need to immerse ourselves into God's word and God's presence even more. If you want to get something from God, you got to want to know God. You got to want to know him. You got to want to get something from him. You got to want to go to him and say, okay, God, teach me, show me, and help me so you can guide me in these times. So friends, this series is meant for you guys to realize we can be triggered in a lot better way when we understand God's ways. When we know more of him. When we're consumed with him. When we tell ourselves, listen, my need isn't in this world, but my need is the one who is above. And the one thing he wants to give me is to help me to endure and mature in the trials and the uncertainty that we're going to face. Because we don't know what tomorrow looks like, but we know that we have a God who's working in us today. So friends, I encourage you and I tell you, bring God in so God can work through you. And you can endure what you're in. Let's say a prayer. Father, I thank you for today. Father, I pray that today's message is a message that reminds us that you are working all things for our good. Father, I pray that today's message is to remind us that we are to walk with wisdom. Ask you and involve you in the moments and the times that we need it the most. Because God, without you, we're going to lose our way. We're going to get lost. We're going to trip up. We're going to make some bad decisions. We're going to repeat what we did in 2020. So God, our job is not to ask you to make what's going on better, but make us better. We need this. We long for this and we desire you. I pray that somebody today would just say to themselves, listen, what I'm doing isn't working. How I'm living isn't working. But I'm going to trust in the one who's always working. I'm going to trust in the one who's always moving. I'm going to trust in the one who's always doing things that work out for my good. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lean to his ways. I'm going to allow his ways to direct what I need to do next. Father, we ask that you would do this work in us. Give us your wisdom. Give us your ways so we can learn how to live in the midst of our chaos. It's in your perfect name is who we pray. Amen.